Chocolate Cocks and How to Make Them by Drarry Ruined Me 7. This isn't exactly the life Draco had envisioned for himself when he was young. Then again, his younger self was an utter idiot, to put it delicately. So maybe that's for the best. Growing up, his father was everything Draco had wanted to be. His inspiration. His hero. Draco wanted nothing more than to make him proud. Draco wanted nothing more than to make him proud. Wanted to get into politics like him, and maybe, one day, who knew, to become Minister for Magic. Now, there are a number of reasons why that'll never happen, and it isn't just because of the inconvenient fact that he's an ex-Death Eater. Draco has also discovered that, actually, he isn't all that much into politics, and after having had his taste of power, mind games, and the paparazzi, he's come to the unequivocal conclusion that he doesn't like being the center of attention. 17 years after the war, however, paparazzi have finally stopped following him around like famished vultures, and he couldn't be happier. He's leading a quiet, peaceful life. People have started to forgive him, or maybe more simply, to forget about him. And Draco wouldn't change that for anything.
"You've become boring," is Pansy's new favorite phrase when she's around Draco.
The thing is, yes, Draco's life probably is boring right now. And he loves it. "I'm 34, and I'm exactly where I want to be, doing exactly what I want to do. I don't get what the big deal is," Draco says, as he checks the account ledger from his factory in Switzerland. "Now, can you please shut up? I need to finish this."
"Boring,"
Pansy whispers into his ear. She picks a gum from his purse and chews on it entirely too loudly.
"Seriously, Draco, you need to branch out more. Make more friends, go out in the evening, have sex."
"I've plenty of friends," Draco replies without looking up from his accounts. He decides it's best to let her comment about sex slide. Pansy, of course, has a different idea.
"I'm just saying, you must be lonely. When was the last time you had sex?"
Draco sighs and flicks his eyes up with a threatening stare, to which Pansy raises her hands in mock apology.
"Well, okay, if not sex, when's the last time someone held you, kissed you, and brought you breakfast in bed just because they cared?"
Draco flips his ledger closed. He pinches the bridge of his nose, dislodging his reading glasses. She does have a point. "Pans, I'm saying it for the last time. I'm not looking for a relationship right now. I'm busy with my business, and I'm doing just fine."
"Your business?"
She trails off, making air quotes around the word business as she speaks. Draco flips her two fingers and readjusts his glasses to keep working.
"Fine, I can take a hint when I see one. I'll just go."
She blows a bubble with her chewing gum and pops it before reaching Draco and stamping a too wet kiss on his cheek.
"See you tonight."
Draco stares at her, blinks once, twice. She sighs, closing her eyes.
"It's Blaze's engagement party."
"Right, yes, of course, I remembered." He knows he's not fooling anyone, especially not Pansy. He'd forgotten about Blaze's party, and now that he's remembered, he's dreading it. Even more, since the person he's gotten engaged to is Neville Longbottom, of all people. And all his friends' events and parties are flooded with fucking Gryffindors.
"Later, you idiot,"
Pansy says with a resigned air. She walks out of Draco's office, and Draco's left alone with his account books and 3 measly hours to get ready for a boisterous party filled with people that he doesn't enjoy all that much. He accios a bottle of fire whiskey and a glass, plotting a way to avoid the evening's entertainment. There isn't one. Draco's obliged to attend it, to wear something smart, to smile politely and make small talk with all the people he used to hate back at school. "Draco, dear, smile less, or your skin will crease," Blaze says with a wink when he sees him. Draco snorts and shakes his head. "You do what you gotta do to maintain a perfect skin," he sneers. He knows he's sneering. Blaze rolls his eyes, and Draco uses the moment to hug him briefly. "I'm happy for you, man," he says in what he hopes is a convincing tone. At Blaze's raised eyebrow, Draco smiles, genuinely this time.
I'm serious. Even if it is with him.
He bows his head to Longbottom, who sticks his tongue out.
I've never seen you happier.
Besides, you finally stopped talking about yourself ceaselessly.
I guess I have Longbottom to thank for that.
It's Neville, Longbottom says. And it's always a pleasure meeting you, Draco. Try not to have too much fun, will you? He snorts. The two of them go on to greet the guests who've just arrived. Draco wasn't lying. He is happy for Blaze. He simply isn't in the mood for a big party tonight. But then again, he hasn't been in the mood for a long time now. Maybe Pansy had a point earlier.
Draco, you made it just in time.
Speak of the devil, and Pansy appears. She's wearing a shocking pink dress, so tight he could count her rib bones one by one.
Did you see who's already here?
She points her head to the left. Draco follows the direction to see Potter drinking beer. Beer, for fuck's sake. Who drinks beer at a formal event? At a table with Granger and Weasley.
Do the three of them ever separate? Draco asks, trying to inject as much spite as he can to the question.
Pansy snorts. She chews on her gum and looks at Draco with a half smirk.
Yes, darling, they do, when Potter wants to flirt with you. He's already approaching.
Don't be ridiculous. He doesn't flirt with me.
Draco can feel the telling prickle of an embarrassing flush creeping up his neck toward his cheeks. Potter is approaching them, after all, and he's incredibly close already.
And stop chewing all those gums. It isn't healthy, nor dignified.
Pansy rolls her eyes, blowing a gigantic bubble through her lips.
Stop changing topics. He's hot, famous, and rich. If it were me...
Hello, Potter says. And Merlin's beard, he is fucking hot. Admittedly, his hair is always a mess. But over the years, it's become less of an I've forgotten to comb my hair mess, and more of an I've just been shagged mess, which makes Draco's mouth go dry.
Potter,
he says, hating the way his voice comes out scratchy and whiny.
Very mature, he adds, when Potter pokes Pansy's bubble with his finger.
You're just jealous because he's not bursting your bubbles, Pansy says,
making zero sense, and yet making Potter's face blush an incredibly intense shade of red. Pansy widens her eyes as she walks away and points at Potter.
S-E-X,
she mouths, and Draco would have killed her if Potter hadn't been right in front of him, wearing a somewhat twitchy smile.
So, Potter says, scratching the back of his neck. Funny finding each other here, huh? What? Potter, they've been dating for 4 years now. We have, unfortunately, been forced into seeing each other for the past few years with alarming regularity.
Right. Potter clears his throat. He scratches the back of his neck again. Is something wrong with him?
I just meant, you know, whoever imagined they'd get to the point of marriage.
Draco blinks. Potter definitely looks flustered. And Draco guesses their last interactions have been more or less on this tenor. Could Pansy possibly be right?
I'll give you that much. It's certainly a turn of events I hadn't seen coming.
Potter exhales slowly, and his shoulders relax a fraction.
Well, all for the better, yes? Can I offer you something to drink?
Draco looks around the room. Everyone's drinking, talking, or dancing. They're having fun. He supposes it won't kill him to have a drink with Potter. They go to the drinking station Blaze had installed for the occasion, the pretentious little snob. Draco orders an appletini. Potter giggles as he orders yet another beer.
I won't make fun of your drink choice, because I have to admit...
Potter trails off to take a swig of his beer.
That's rich coming from someone who chose beer, but whatever.
Draco's intrigued.
I have to admit, I have ulterior motives.
Potter purses his lips and looks at Draco from the rim of his glasses.
Oh, Lord. So Pansy was right. Potter is flirting with him. And even if this is too blatant, even for him, Draco won't say he's not interested. Not if it's mutual. I was wondering if you, Yes, Draco says, before he can think otherwise. Who's he kidding? He has become boring. He is stressed, and it's been entirely too long since he's had decent sex. Plus, this is Potter. He can't even remember a time his fantasies didn't include him. Yes, as in, you're going to help me with my new work project? Potter's eyebrows are furrowed in a puzzled frown, but his smile is amused. Definitely too amused. Fuck, 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 fuck. Draco feels like the biggest idiot in history. Of course Potter isn't flirting with him. He could never be interested in him. What was he thinking? Damn Pansy and her stupid ideas. He has to recover from this. Draco tries frantically to remember if anyone ever told him anything about Potter's possible new work project. He helps George and Ron with the joke shop, so perhaps he wants Draco to test a new product. They do tend to trap all of their friends with those. Of course, yes. Draco can deal with it. He can. Fantastic. I've got to say it's a huge relief. I was worried I'd have had to explain it all to you. So George already talked to you? Potter looks more and more amused. But Draco could be damned before he'd admit he has no idea what they're talking about. Mm-hmm, he says, nodding. He hopes it won't have anything to do with vomit and or dyeing one's hair. Perfect. Just tell me when I can come visit your factory in Switzerland, then. I already have a billion ideas. My chocolate factory? Right. For the sex toys and edible lingerie. I gotta say, Malfoy, I thought you'd be way more difficult about this. With you being, you know, such a... Potter looks him up and down, and Draco prays that his shirt is hiding the way his heart is galloping against his chest. Sex what? And what exactly is Potter trying to imply? Such a prude, right? A prude? Draco never felt so insulted in all his life. Okay, fine, so he's not had the most interesting dating life. But that doesn't mean Potter can go around making assumptions. I'll have you know, Potter, that I use plenty of sex toys. It's hardly the best retort. At all. Fuck. But Potter's choking on his beer now, and Draco won't let him have the upper hand. About anything. That's right. I'll be glad to help you with it. I'll owl you about the visit to my factory. If Pansy doesn't stop laughing in the next 5 minutes, Draco will have to hex her into the middle of next year.
I can't breathe,
she wheezes as tears start rolling down her cheeks.
Oh my, this is the best day of my life.
You're a monster, Draco says through thinned lips, wishing that for once she would choke on her damn gum. I'm utterly fucked, Pans. I don't even know why I said that. Pansy wipes away her tears with the back of her hand. Her mascara is all ruined now, but Draco won't be the one to tell her that.
That you use plenty of sex toys? Oh, Draco, you said it for me. I know you did. Because you knew I'd laugh myself to death.
There's really not much Draco can answer to that. He's fucked up, big time. He said I'm a prude.
And you couldn't let him believe that, because...
Pansy's eyebrows are pumping up and down, and Draco can't hold back the laughter. All right. Because maybe, I'm a little bit attracted to the git. And I hoped... Whatever, it doesn't matter. What matters here is that Potter wants to make edible lingerie. And sex toys. How would that even work? Draco puts his hands in his hair and lets out a low moan.
Darling, you do remember how to use your computer, don't you?
Pansy points to Draco's laptop, which is completely covered by dust. Draco doesn't. Pansy rolls her eyes.
Just search the internet for ideas. I guess Potter is in need of good chocolate for his project, but it's surely better if you can help him with, I don't know, tips about consistency and taste when it comes to sexy times.
Ugh. I don't know what's worse, that I've agreed to this, that you're mocking me, or that you just said sexy times. Don't you have a job to go to? Partly, Draco wants to die alone in his embarrassment, but mostly, Draco needs to do his research.
You know perfectly well I can do my job from wherever I wish, Pansy replies.
She takes her phone out, points it at Draco, and starts recording.
Hi, little stars. Today I'm with my boring friend, Draco. Do you remember him? Draco, say hi.
Draco scowls and takes a deep breath. Hi. It's such a sad attempt that even Pansy puts her phone down. I don't know anything, Pans. I still don't understand any of this influencer thing you do.
That's because you're still refusing to buy a phone. Anyway,
she stands from her supine position on the floor.
I won't take back what I said yesterday night. Potter flirts with you, shamelessly. It's blatant to anyone that sees the two of you together. This is just the 1,000th piece of evidence.
Outside, heavy rain starts ticking against the windows of Draco's office. He welcomes the calming effect the sound has on him.
Pansy, please, let's forget about this. I simply misread the situation. It happens.
She closes the space between them and gently strokes Draco's cheek.
Fine. Just tell me when you're going to Switzerland. I adore coming to visit you.
Draco nods and watches as she walks away.
Pans.
She turns, phone already in hand.
Your mascara is ruined.
After hours of research, Draco has learnt close to nothing. He has no idea how to use chocolate to create safe sex toys, or to prevent it from melting against someone's skin when used as lingerie. He does have some ideas, however, on how to use chocolate to spice up a blowjob or sex. And the fact that he's now obsessed with the image of Potter's cock covered in chocolate does not help Draco's next task. Sighing, Draco picks up a piece of parchment from his desk and scribbles a note to Potter.
Are you free to leave this afternoon? Sincerely, Draco Malfoy.
After all, there's no use in dwelling on techniques and molds if he hasn't talked to Potter. He needs to hear his ideas. The answer comes after 5 minutes, a note laced to Draco's owl's leg. Ernest, a dreadful name Teddy chose for it, Draco can't be blamed, comes into Draco's kitchen all covered in snow. He hadn't realized it had begun snowing. December had always been Draco's favorite month of the year, and the fact that Potter and his obscene ideas managed to distract him from that is absolutely terrifying.
Thanks, Ernie, Draco says, handing him a treat.
The owl eats it excruciatingly slowly. It wouldn't be a problem, per se, if not for the fact that he never lets Draco take his correspondence until he's finished eating. Very pretentious for an owl. Draco has no idea who he takes after. When he's finally finished, he extends his leg to Draco. Potter's note is short, doesn't answer his question, and looks like chicken footprints.
Just text me. This is my number. 07124-555-777.
Well, fuck.
Ernie, I need you to deliver another letter.
And yes, Draco knows it's illogical to speak to an owl, but he won't stop, especially since Ernest always cocks his head like he understands Draco, and it's the most adorable thing in the world. Not that Draco's ever going to admit that out loud. He puts the kettle on to brew some tea, black and strong, exactly how Pansy likes it. She comes in mere minutes after Ernie's gone, and Draco knows he made the biggest mistake of his life when he sees her literally bouncing into the kitchen.
Draco, tell me you're not kidding!
Unfortunately, I'm not.
Draco sighs and puts a cup filled to the brim with tea on the table. Pansy sits and immediately sniffs the steam coming out of it.
I can't believe you're finally buying a phone! It's because of Potter, isn't it?
Draco says nothing. He shrugs as he brings his own cup to his lips, in an attempt to hide his expression.
I just thought it'd help me with my business.
Ha! It is because of him! I'm so fucking happy!
She takes her phone from her purse and immediately starts talking to it like she often does.
Little stars, guess what? My grumpy friend Draco, yes, the Draco, is buying a phone!
I have so many questions, Draco says, as he watches Pansy laugh and make weird faces at her phone. But I'm in a bit of a hurry, so...
Of course you are.
She looks at Draco from above her phone with a mischievous smile.
"What's this?"
she asks as she picks the note from Potter from the table. She zooms in close with her phone and reads it aloud.
"Just text me. Whoopsie, can't show you this, guys. There's a personal number in it. Stay tuned for further updates."
Draco tears the note from Pansy's hand. "Idiot," he murmurs. "It's not what it looks like."
"You mean that Potter gave you his number so you can send each other dick pics?"
"What? Pansy, for Merlin's sake, what the absolute fuck? No!" Draco's mind is once again filled with images of Potter's cock and chocolate. This is all going to end very poorly. "Just, please."
"Please what?"
She's sipping her tea with an angelic face, yet all Draco can think is that she's pure evil. "Please, I need your help."
"Music to my ears. Come on, we have a mission."
2.5 hours. It takes them 2.5 hours to buy Draco a phone, and another hour for Pansy to explain the basics of it to him. It's not going well. "I don't understand. What's this symbol again?"
"It's the symbol of a phone, Draco. You click on it when you want to call someone."
"Right, and I just talk to the phone, then?" It really doesn't make any sense. It's nothing like a Patronus.
"No. I mean, yes, you talk to the phone, but the person on the other end hears you. So you're really talking to them."
Draco blinks several times. He's a smart person, for Merlin's sake. He's never had any problems understanding new concepts. He can do this. "All right. And I click on here," he says, pointing to another very similar symbol, "to send a text instead, which is like an owl note, but intangible." Pansy claps, popping her bubblegum in the process.
"Exactly! You're finally catching on. Now, save Potter's number and text him."
This task takes Draco more or less 15 minutes. All in all, he feels good about himself, even if it ends with Pansy slamming the door of Draco's apartment, yelling,
"I won't help you with anything else in my entire life, I swear!"
And now, Draco waits. He looks at the phone and touches it so it doesn't turn off. He's not sure he remembers how to turn it on again. "Took you long enough. I thought you didn't have a phone." Winking face with tongue. Draco stares at the text, at a loss for words. Did Potter give Draco his phone number on purpose? Just to prove... to prove what, exactly? Draco shakes his head to clear it. Leave it to Potter to drag him into his madness. He concentrates again on the text instead. Potter writes like an 8-year-old. And what the hell does that semicolon with a P mean? "Never mind that. I guess today's gone. What about Friday? Sincerely, Draco Malfoy." "Friday's okay for me. You don't need to sign yourself in every message." "Noted. See you on Friday, then. Sincerely, Draco Malfoy." "You're a prat. See you on Friday. Try not to wear yourself out with all those sex toys, yeah?" Yep, Draco was right. This is going to end very, very badly. It's slightly more intimidating up close. At the shop, Draco did everything so quickly he didn't really pay much attention to what he was buying. But now that he's home, he can't believe he's done it. The cashier had greeted Draco with,
"Someone likes a big Christmas, huh?"
Putting honestly more emphasis than necessary on the word big, and Draco hadn't really been listening that much. But now, he's forced to agree. This is big. Very big. And Draco's not a prude, contrary to what Potter might think. He's had sex before, thank you very much. But he's never taken a cock this big before. "It's just a dildo," Draco thinks, taking deep breaths. "You've taken a cock up your ass before. You can do this." Obviously, it's only for academic purposes. First of all, he needs to actually experience at least a couple of sex toys before helping Potter with his project, right? And then, well, He did tell Potter he'd used plenty of these, and what if Potter catches his lie? He can't let that happen. Yes, those are absolutely the reasons Draco bought this dildo. And the other three in the bag. And the cock ring. Right. He looks at the bag, and munches on his bottom lip until it bleeds, and he's so hard it hurts. He's not sure what happened or why he's hard, but images of Potter and his cock dripping chocolate won't stop invading Draco's mind, which isn't helping. With no little anticipation, Draco picks up the dildo and takes it to his bedroom. There's a suction cup at the base of it, which Draco supposes would be useful if he were a muggle. As it is, he just fires a sticking charm to it, and the dildo attaches itself to the headboard. This image is even more intimidating. A giant dildo attached to his fucking bed. Draco shakes his head. His interest in the entire ordeal is growing by the second, anyway. He palms his erection and decides it's time to take off his trousers and boxers. Right, he mumbles as he climbs the bed. Now, just get into position, right? Fuck, somehow this all feels weird and wrong. Draco wants someone to be here with him, not a fake plastic thing attached to the headboard. He would also really, really, like a user manual to tell him exactly what to do and how to do it. Improv definitely isn't Draco's best skill. Draco thinks again of Pansy's words and her, "You need to loosen up," as well as Potter assuming he's a prude, and a bit more courage comes to him. Nodding to himself, Draco murmurs a lubricating spell, and the dildo is suddenly shiny and inviting, and Draco can feel his arsehole spasm. It's downright embarrassing, but he's alone. No one can hear him or see him. Perhaps that's the interesting part of this? Taking a deep breath, Draco climbs the bed and gets on all fours. He conjures lube on his own fingers and reaches behind himself to stroke at his hole, closing his eyes and letting his mind go wherever it wants to. He can do this. He isn't uptight. He just likes things to be in order and planned and under control and... The point is, he can do this. Potter materializes again in his mind so quickly it's not even funny. Fantasy Potter's naked, tanned, and his hair's in a messy bun. Just like last summer when they all went together to the beach house that Neville and Blaze bought. That had been an exciting holiday. Draco had wanked his cock raw infinite times to the images of a wet Potter exiting the sea, droplets of water dripping down his chest, to the patch of hairs right above his swimsuit waistline. A whine slips past Draco's lips as he pushes two fingers inside himself. His legs are trembling, his cock is leaking, and Draco can't prevent the second moan that rushes out of him. He's never, never loud during sex. It's something he's somehow proud of. But there isn't anyone here, and he's free to imagine that behind him, there's Potter, ready to fuck him senseless, and not the deep purple dildo he just bought. He's now impatient to get to it. He keeps thrusting his fingers in and out, moving his back in time, letting himself moan and cry out freely. That's a completely new feeling that Draco's surprised to be actually enjoying. When he feels his balls tighten, Draco slows down, chest heaving at every breath. He looks behind himself and tries to align with the dildo. After a couple of tries, the tip finally touches his hole, and Draco sighs, slowly pushing back until he's arse tight with the headboard. Fuck, Potter! A distant corner of his mind registers that he's technically speaking to a dildo, and that he's being loud, too loud, but another part of him simply doesn't care. His cock twitches, neglected, and Draco starts pumping in and out, arching his back, imagining Potter's rough and calloused hands roaming all over his back and arse so much that he can almost feel it. Yes, fuck, more, Potter, more. He doesn't even need to reach down and touch himself. The entire experience is too much. He angles his body, and the dildo grazes that exact spot that makes Draco's toes curl and his entire body erupt in goose flesh. Draco stutters as he starts coming, spurting completely untouched all over his sheets, moaning loudly, and probably saying Potter's name once or twice. It's over too quickly. It's never happened to Draco. But damn if he isn't satisfied. He looks down at himself, dildo still in his arse, and giggles. This was entirely too good. He wonders how he's lived until now without this knowledge. He starts to understand a bit better why Pansy is so adamant about self-love and all that shit. Draco flicks his hand and vanishes the mess he's made. Thunder rumbles overhead, and when Draco looks outside, the sun is down and the sky is near black. If Draco remembers correctly, it was supposed to rain like this on Friday.
Shit, shit, shit. He has the portkey to Switzerland to catch with Potter today.
With a jolt, he's out of his bed and back into his boxers and trousers again. He has no idea why he hadn't taken off his wool sweater, too, but there's no way he can keep it now that he's sweat through it. He changes it for another sweater, a green cashmere his mother gifted him last Christmas, and redirects his belongings to his luggage with his wand as he flies out of the bedroom to the kitchen. He needs a cup of tea before meeting Potter to regain himself.
Shit, fuck,
Hey! Draco jumps when he hears another voice in his house, and his blood actually freezes in his veins as he turns and sees Harry fucking Potter sitting at his kitchen table, sipping coffee like that's something normal, like they do this all the time, like Potter belongs here, in Draco's kitchen. What the fuck, Potter? A million thoughts run through Draco in the span of a second, but one is the most obtrusive. How long have you been here? And who the hell gave you the right to enter my house? Potter takes a sip of his coffee. A coffee he's made with Draco's coffee pot, he realizes. Potter's infuriatingly handsome, with his unshaved beard, his half-smile, and that damn messy man-bun. He'll be the fucking death of Draco. You said to meet here at 5 p.m., but I guess you were otherwise occupied? Potter asks this like he's asking if Draco was busy taking a dump, but something in his eyes tells Draco that's not what he's implying. God damn it, why the hell did Draco agree to any of this? Draco briefly looks up, behind Potter, where his great-grandfather wooden clock resides. Indeed, it marks 5 p.m. Yes, of course. I was just, finishing packing my baggage. Potter smirks. Okay. Ready when you are. Can't wait to start. The portkey trip is, as always, quick and nauseating. And yet, Draco's got enough time to think over and over again about Potter just sitting in his kitchen while a giant, deep purple dildo was shoved all the way into Draco's arse. It's definitely not the best trip he's ever taken. They land at a small patch of grass behind Zurich's station. It's pouring, like Merlin sending everything he's got down on their heads. Somehow it feels ominous. Is it always so gray here? Potter asks, as he looks around them with his nose crinkled. Even like that, he manages to look hot, for fuck's sake. Draco stares at him as his hair gets soaked in the rain, trying to read on Potter's face whether he's heard anything at Draco's place, or if he's looking weirdly at Draco. What? Do I have something on my face? Great. So now not only does Draco wank to images of Potter while he's in Draco's house, but he also apparently stares at Potter inappropriately. Yes. Potter picks at his face, seemingly realizing for the first time he's standing in the middle of the rain. Well, what is it? Did I take it off? Harry asks as he rubs at his oh-so-cutely reddened cheeks. No, it's, rain. Huh. Why does Draco insist on replying to whatever Potter asks him? It's clear it's not a good idea. Potter giggles and waves his hand slightly. Immediately, an umbrella charm comes up to protect both of them. You're weird. Is it because I was in your kitchen earlier? Look, I'm sorry. I'd only just arrived, I promise. Draco's grateful it's so cold. It means he can blame what he's sure is a very flushed face on the weather. Yeah, no, don't worry. Distraction. He needs a distraction. Gosh, Potter, you're such a show-off with your magic. Picking on Potter comes naturally, after all. He doesn't look too fussed about it, however. In fact, Potter just smiles, raising one eyebrow. You have no idea.
Potter flirts with you shamelessly.
Pansy's words decide to pop into Draco's mind out of nowhere. He shakes his head. That's not it, right? He's just imagining things.
Let's go, shall we? My place is only a couple of blocks away.
Because, why yes, Draco has also offered to host Potter at his place in Zurich for the weekend. It seemed like the polite thing to do at the time. But just like when people say, let me pay, knowing the other person will just insist on splitting the check, Draco was sure Potter would have refused. He hadn't. Potter had said, thank you, Draco. Draco. And, that's so thoughtful, Draco. Draco again. And Draco had died and resurrected a couple of times in a row, before realizing that now he has to host Potter for real. They walked to Draco's place in a quiet and comfortable silence, accompanied by the soothing sloshing of the rain under their feet and around them. Now and then, Potter asks him questions about buildings and anecdotes about the city, and Draco's happy to reply. He's happy to talk about something that isn't sex toys and edible lingerie. That doesn't last long enough. As soon as they get to Draco's place, Potter doesn't waste any time. He quickly settles into the guest bedroom and reemerges in the kitchen only a couple of minutes later, while Draco's cooking something for dinner. It all feels extremely intimate, extremely quickly. What do you think of these? Potter asks, taking a small notebook out of his oversized jumper. He's wearing it over a pair of shorts, and Draco notices he's the kind of person who walks around the house barefoot. Draco's mouth waters, and it isn't for the delicious scent the spaghetti is emanating.
Potter,
he says, and has to clear his throat for how fucking undone he sounds. He's so badly dressed that Pansy's soul is probably dying somewhere in London, and yet, Draco's starting to get uncomfortably hard.
What the fuck are you wearing?
Potter looks down at himself, shrugging. Okay, first of all, it's Harry, as I keep on telling you. He sits at the kitchen table and pours himself a glass of wine. He pours one for Draco as well. Let me guess, you have rules on how to dress, even in one's house, don't you? Draco leaves the spaghetti to cook under a stasis spell and takes the glass of wine. He's taken out one of his favorites, a 74 Latour from his mother's winery in France. No, I don't, he mumbles. He takes a sip, trying to look at anything but Potter. He raises an eyebrow. Really? Are you telling me that someone like you doesn't have a precise set of rules for every different occasion? Someone like me? Yeah, I mean... Potter takes a sip of the wine, licking his lips afterwards. Draco tries to imagine what it'd be like to be the one licking those lips, and ends up with an uncomfortable hard-on. Alas, he can't let Potter win all their matches. You mean someone uptight? And what was it you said? Draco looks at Potter with what he hopes is a defiant look. Prudish? Ever so articulate. This time, Draco lets himself smirk. I guess you're right. I am uptight. I like my rules, and having everything under control, planned and scheduled. And, yes, even precise sets of clothes to wear in different contexts. Potter's looking at him, and for once, his look isn't mocking or flirtatious, whatever, but his head is slightly cocked. His eyes are glued to Draco. He looks interested. That doesn't mean I think everybody else should live by my rules. It's okay if you want to dress like a tramp. Actually, you look good in it. Really? Gosh, Draco must look desperate saying cheesy lines like this one. Thank Merlin that Pansy's not here, or he wouldn't hear the end of it. He takes a sip of his wine to have something to do, as Potter just stays silent, watching him. Actually, staring at him. Thanks, Draco, he says softly. He reaches again for the notebook he'd placed on the table. By the way, I actually meant to ask you what you think of... Draco's heart starts beating so quickly, he actually feels it in the pit of his stomach. Of what? Of having sex? Of drinking wine off Potter's chest instead of out of glasses? No, that doesn't make sense. Why would Potter say something like that? And what's in that notebook? But above all, why can't Draco wait for Potter to finish his sentences? He takes a deep breath, concentrating on the words Potter's actually saying. Only sketches. Do you have some input for me? Potter's looking up at Draco, munching on his bottom lip. He's waiting for Draco's reply, he realizes. The notebook is now open. Draco takes a sip of his wine, looks down on it, and promptly chokes, spluttering wine all over Potter's sketches.
"Warn a man, will you?"
Draco says, voice scratchy and eyes quickly watering up.
"What? Why? You... what's a..."
Draco looks closer. Potter really spared no details in designing ideas for edible sex toys.
"Hungledore?"
"Oh no, don't tell me you don't like it. It's one of my favorites." Potter's smirking like an arsehole, and Draco tries to breathe and conduct himself with some kind of normality. After all, he did tell Potter he uses plenty of sex toys. But while he's now familiar with the feel of a dildo up his arse, that doesn't mean he's an expert. Or that he's cracked how to create and stabilize them using chocolate.
It's Draco clears his throat. "Big."
"Of course. That's why it's called Hungledore," Potter replies, winking.
"I got that. What I don't get is why it's named after Dumbledore."
Potter opens his mouth, and Draco hurries to stop him.
"No, no, 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 no. I don't want to know. Not in a million lifetimes, in the most absolute way."
They look at each other and burst out laughing. Draco takes the moment to look at Potter's other sketches. He really went wild with ideas. There are dildos of every size and shape, even tentacle ones. Is that a thing?
Squiddy?
Draco knows he sounds terrified. It just never occurred to him that people might like something like this. Potter shrugs.
"Yeah, I figured it'd be inclusive. You have no idea how many people are into that."
"Huh.
Really?"
Draco leans in, looking closely at Potter's sketch.
"And are you?"
The question is out of his mouth before Draco can stop himself.
"Are you? Are you?" This entire project is bringing Draco to the edges of his mental sanity. He can't believe he's asked Potter if he's into tentacles.
Still, now that he's asked, he can't stop picturing Potter held down by tentacles, hickeys all over his body from those little suction cups, their pointy endings entering every orifice. Draco shakes his head. His cock is now standing at full attention, and Potter's looking at him with a dangerously amused expression.
"Wouldn't you like to know?" he says, closing his notebook.
Draco stares at him.
"Yes, he'd like to know."
Until Potter says, "Is the spaghetti ready? I'm starving." Dinner is a quiet thing. They chat about the actual practicability of Potter's ideas, how long it'll take to complete the first prototypes, and the program for tomorrow's visit to the chocolate factory. Draco explains to Potter his ideas about the chocolate, especially for the lingerie line. Potter seems enthusiastic about Draco's ideas. He keeps touching Draco's arms, laughing, slowly moving closer and closer to Draco, until he could barely whisper, and Potter would still hear him. Finally, after hours of discussion and practicing the new spell Draco had invented to stabilize chocolate, it infuriates him that Potter managed to cast it with perfection the first time, as if he'd invented it. Potter declares he's tired. As Potter retreats to his guest bedroom, Draco brings himself to the couch, refilling his glass of wine for the umpteenth time. He can't stop thinking about the way Potter keeps acting towards him. Pleasantly tipsy, he remembers he just bought a mobile phone, or whatever the hell it's called, and that he's got Pansy's number. "Pans," he types, hoping he's doing it the right way.
"Dre, how are things there? Did you two fuck already?"
"For fuck's sake, woman, no, of course not. He doesn't like me that way."
It's a minute before Pansy replies again, and it's with a moving image of a waterfall. Draco still hasn't understood how Muggles cracked the whole moving images thing. What's that?
Potter, when he sees you.
Pansy, shut up! Although...
What?
Well, honestly, sometimes I do have the impression he's flirting. And if he isn't, well, then he should rethink the way he talks to people.
Huh? I told you. Tell me everything.
He showed me all his ideas. Did you know people like tentacles? In a sexy way?
Oh, yeah. I knew all right. Well, well. Looks like Potter's not really the shy type.
I don't know what to think.
Nothing, sweetie. Just fuck him and keep me posted, with as many details as possible.
I hate you.
No, you don't, heart.
Draco puts away his phone and takes a big swig of his wine. It's going to be a very long weekend. The next day, Zurich's sky is incredibly sunny. The air is always as cold as it can get, but Draco welcomes the clear sky and the way it makes the colors of the nature around them so bright and vivid. I've got to admit, I never pictured you as someone who'd like to stay amongst so much greenery, Potter says once they reach the factory. Or, for that matter, that your family chocolate factory is the fucking lint. Draco rolls his eyes. It's not the lint. I already told you. Lint was a muggle. We're just affiliated with lint. It's like we're the wizarding subdivision. It's profitable. And delicious. Potter murmurs an, okay, as Draco goes on. And I have to say, Potter, Harry. Fine, Harry, Draco says, and almost physically has to bite his lips to avoid telling him how much he'd like to actually call him Harry as he presses him into the next wall. That you spent quite a lot of time thinking about my whereabouts, hmm? Potter cocks his head and the corners of his lips quirk upwards. I guess I do, he simply replies as they pass curious tourists. They get to the back laboratories, and Potter, all right, Harry, beams like a kid at Christmas. Oh my God, I'm in paradise, he cries as he gazes, transfixed, at the chocolate fountains and all the chocolate bars in the process of being made. Draco can't help but giggle. Harry's excitement is infectious.
Okay, what do you say I show you some things I've been working on, and then you can try some of this chocolate?
Draco knows it's the right suggestion when Harry's eyes get bigger and brighter. He nods enthusiastically, not trying to hide his keenness. Draco brings him to the first part of the laboratories. This is where molds and the thinking process take place. Over here, he calls, as Harry's still staring at all the chocolate around them with his mouth in a perfect O shape.
See, Draco says when Harry reaches him. I sent models of the molds here last week. These are some of the prototypes.
Harry takes one, seemingly perusing it with attention. And it works, with the spell you showed me.
I guess, Draco says, shrugging.
We should try one.
Draco's mind goes blank.
We? Together?
He can feel his face getting hotter. He can't be serious, can he? Harry, however, only bursts out laughing. That's not what I meant, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. He winks, and this time Draco knows he can't be imagining things. He just said it out loud.
I...
Say something, Draco, anything.
I had an idea for your, Hungledore.
Not this, not the right moment, for fuck's sake. Harry inclines his head.
Oh? Right. You obviously know Dumbledore's wand was the Elder Wand, so I thought, what if we modeled the dildo with a similar shape? Like with knots and, you know.
That's brilliant, Draco. So it was true. You really know your sex toys. Harry takes out his notebook. he quickly sketches Draco's idea. The ending result is... interesting. Can I give it to the modelers? So we can have one ready for tonight, luckily. Draco blinks. All right. Two can play at that game. Sure, he says, and feels emboldened. I also asked them to design a dildo with liquid white chocolate inside. To spurt, you know, when you're almost done eating it. Harry looks taken aback, but it only lasts 1 second. You're amazing. I'm totally blown away here. I'm going to submit this to... He looks behind them where the workers are checking the production chain. No, not them. Let's ask the maître chocolatier, Draco says. They bring the sketches and all their ideas to Andrew, who looks impressed. I love this project, Draco. So inspired. I'll get you two prototypes ready in about 1 hour. It's the longest hour of Draco's life. He takes Harry back to the chocolate fountains, where Harry goes completely bonkers. He keeps tasting all kinds of chocolate, directly drinking from the chocolate sprays, licking spoonful after spoonful. It's all faintly pornographic, and Draco almost, averts his eyes. By the time Andrew calls them back, Draco's once again painfully hard, and his breathing's gotten labored. And Harry, idiot that he is, doesn't even look like he's realized the effect he has on Draco. Pansy, I think Harry's trying to kill me.
Harry, is it?
I'm serious. He spent 1 hour licking chocolate from spoons like a heathen.
Woohoo! Get on that train, Draco!
Draco, Harry says, waving a hand in front of his eyes. Who are you chatting with? No one, he replies, quickly putting away his phone. Sorry, what were you saying? Andrew smiles, holding up two surprisingly realistic chocolate dildos. This one, he says, showing the Hungledore, was very difficult to create, but I think it came out pretty well. Is this what you were going for? Draco and Harry both get closer to the thing. It really looks like the Elder Wand, just thick and cock-shaped. Yes, definitely, Harry says, nodding to himself. Great. Andrew then shows them the other, smaller one. This is dark chocolate, but inside it, there's the liquid white chocolate you told me about. I'm not sure the spell I put on it works, though. We'll let you know. Harry turns to Draco, winking once again. This is getting ridiculous, and also terribly harder on Draco's poor, neglected cock. Right. Thanks, Andrew, he says, putting the prototypes in a plastic bag to bring home. Shall we go? Draco asks then, looking at Harry with a raised eyebrow. He will get on this train, all right. He's already at the damn station, after all. They barely get into Draco's house when Draco immediately attacks Draco's lips. He pushes Draco against the door, pulling on his lips, grinding shamelessly against him. He tastes sweet, and Draco moans against him, licking his lips like they're molten pure chocolate. You bastard, Draco sighs out between kisses. You teased me like a bastard. Harry giggles against his mouth. I don't know what you're talking about, he whispers as he starts unbuttoning Draco's trousers. Fuck, fuck, he groans as his hand grabs Draco's cock. Draco pushes against him, relishing in the amazing friction. You have no idea how long I've wanted you. Draco definitely hasn't. Tell me, he croaks out, as Harry starts slowly pulling at his cock. It feels too much, too quickly, but it's so good. Draco can't remember a time he didn't want this. Do you remember the first disastrous time Neville and Blaise invited all of us over for their first party as a couple? Draco's mind is abandoning him. He can barely make sense of Harry's words. Harry's hand is still slowly pumping along his shaft, just barely touching his slit with his thumb when he gets to the tip. Draco's knees almost give way, but Harry holds him tight against the door. You, Draco moans, trying to concentrate.
It was like 2 years ago.
Harry smiles, canines showing.
It's feral. Fuck, yes. I've always tried flirting shamelessly with you.
Harry's hand leaves Draco's cock, and Draco whines, but it's brief. Harry's unzipping his own jeans, taking out his cock, lubing it up. Draco's mouth waters. His cock is thick, with curly hairs around it, and veins swollen along it. It's perfect.
But nothing worked. I thought of giving up,
he goes on, taking both their cocks in his hand now.
Oh, God,
Draco groans, his eyes rolling up.
What?
He tries, but has to take a breath to go on.
What made you change your mind?
The way you started looking at me, he says, biting along Draco's jaw. Like I was your next meal. Draco'd like to contradict him, but he knows he can't. He's wanted Harry for even longer than what Harry's implying.
And also, well, yesterday, I think I heard you wanking while I was in your kitchen,
Harry goes on.
Draco suddenly feels like disappearing into nothingness forever. I believe you said my name.
Fuck you, Draco whispers. But Harry doesn't look mocking. He looks like he's losing his mind, too.
Believe me, I'm trying, Harry says,
waving his hand and apparently wandlessly and wordlessly accioing the smaller prototype from the factory. He looks up into Draco's eyes with uncertainty.
I thought you might be hungry.
That's it. Harry really is trying to kill Draco with his hand, still mercilessly working both their cocks, and with his words, bites, and kisses all across Draco's face.
I definitely am,
Draco's able to say before Harry stuffs his mouth with the chocolate dildo. It's delicious, actually, but that's not what's making Draco's toes curl.
You like this, don't you? Being stuffed like a puppet?
Draco kind of hates the way Harry's voice is still smooth and clear. He lets go of their cocks to vanish Draco's trousers. He murmurs something, and his fingers are suddenly poking at Draco's hole.
Hmm? Mouth stuffed? Ass full? Harry says as he pushes one finger in.
He grinds against Draco's cock at the same time, making Draco's head spin. Draco moans around the chocolate dildo, starting to lick around it, trying to swallow what melts, feeling some of it dripping out of the corners of his mouth. Harry reaches out and licks him clean himself. Draco's completely overwhelmed when Harry's finger finally finds his prostate and starts gently grazing it over and over while he keeps rubbing his cock against Draco's.
Mmph, Draco tries to say.
The dildo is doing something weird inside his mouth, rhythmically pulsating. Harry seems to understand and pulls it out of Draco's mouth just in time. White chocolate starts splashing all over Draco's face. He can't take it anymore.
Harry,
He groans as he feels his orgasm grow and his balls tighten. He comes in long, thick spurts against Harry's stomach.
Wow,
Harry whispers, gently licking chocolate off Draco's face.
Wow,
he repeats. Draco sighs, sated. He looks down at the mess he's made as chocolate keeps dripping down his face.
This was,
Draco giggles,
fun.
Harry laughs, too. I definitely approve of this prototype, he says, moving backward to give Draco space. Draco's fucking tired, he is, but he's dreamed of Harry's cock for a while now, and he can't help but notice he hasn't come yet.
I might still be a bit hungry, you know,
Draco says, hoping it'll come out suggestively and not as tiredly as he feels. Harry raises one eyebrow, wiggling his hips so that his cock bounces. Draco snorts.
Well, if you are, I have something for you.
Draco doesn't need to be told twice. He kneels and doesn't waste time before taking Harry's cock in his mouth. He can still taste the chocolate, and he's surprised when he realizes that this is his fantasy coming true. It doesn't take long before Harry pulls on Draco's hair, grunting,
Oh,
fuck coming, and emptying his cock into Draco's mouth. Less surprisingly, Draco loves Harry's taste. He greedily swallows everything he has to give him. Draco stands up. They look into each other's eyes for a second before laughing together.
Well, Harry says, taking a deep breath, I love Switzerland.
Let me get this straight. You've been having sex for a year, but you're not boyfriends.
Draco looks over to where Harry is talking with Granger and Weasley.
Exactly, he says, putting his chin in his hand. It's not like Draco isn't enjoying their arrangement. After their first time in Switzerland, they decided that what happens in Switzerland stays in Switzerland, and Draco was completely fine with it. Still is. They return there periodically to check the dildo production and launch new ideas. Harry's line of edible sex toys and lingerie has been a huge success, obviously.
Draco still cherishes the memories of their escapades. One of his favorites is when Harry had the idea for an edible shampoo. They'd spent hours under the shower, or in hot tubs, washing each other's hair. Draco quickly discovered he loved being able to bite into Harry's hair while fucking him, with the added bonus of tasting chocolate in the process. And gods, gods, was it fun when they were finally able to create their tentacle-shaped dildo.
Yes, Harry had said, as he slowly pushed the chocolate tentacle dildo inside Draco's arse. I do love tentacle sex.
And my, Draco discovered he enjoyed it too, especially when the entire dildo was lodged firmly inside his arse, and the tip started moving in circles, slowly but steadily bringing him to one of the most powerful orgasms he'd ever had. They did call it Squiddy. It was the biggest success from Harry's line of products, and a sellout hit.
Draco?
Pansy calls him, pinching his arm.
What? He says, turning to her with furrowed brows. Dear Lord, woman, will you stop chewing those gums? We're at a wedding.
Pansy shrugs as she blows a bubble through her lipstick-red lips.
Whatever. Oh, Draco, I don't think it's ever been only sex between you two, just as it wasn't only sex between Neville and Blaze.
The happy, just-married couple is dancing wildly to the notes of a particularly cheesy song by Celestina Warbeck. Pansy sighs.
I'd never have bet on the two of them.
Draco looks at them, a small smile playing on his lips.
They complete each other.
There's a pause, and Draco turns to Pansy. She's looking at him with her eyebrows raised.
What?
Nothing. It's just... Are you sure we're still talking about Neville and Blaze?
What do you mean?
Pansy looks at him, finally spitting her gum out in her napkin.
Draco, come on.
Draco shakes his head.
It's no secret I like him, Pans. And sometimes I think he really likes me too. But I have to give him time.
Speaking of the devil, Pansy says, standing up. Be honest with him, darling,
she murmurs as Harry approaches their table.
Draco,
he says. His cheeks are slightly flushed, and for the first time since they've started their arrangement, he looks hesitant.
Would you like, perhaps, to dance with me?
Kinky, Draco says, unable not to go for his usual sarcasm. Harry laughs, and it's one of the most beautiful things he's ever heard or seen.
Of course, I'd love that.
Harry holds his hand out to him, and they walk to the dance floor together. Harry puts his hands around Draco's waist, bringing them together from shoulders to feet.
I've got to confess something, Harry says into his ear when they start dancing, and Draco can feel goosebumps erupt across his skin.
Anticipation prickles all over his body, as it always happens when Harry's close.
Yes?
Well, I'm wearing those chocolate pasties and thongs we designed last week, during that wonderful hike at Matterhorn.
He pumps his eyebrows up and down, and a small part of Draco's heart sinks to his stomach. It's a hot prospect, that's for sure. even if not exactly what he'd hoped to hear from Harry's mouth.
"That's sexy," he says, leaning his head against Harry's shoulder. "Is something the matter?" Harry asks, and Draco shakes his head.
"Is this because you saw my new sketches? You can tell me if you don't want me to create the Draco Dormians," Harry says, giggling, and Draco groans against his shoulder. He'd forgotten about that.
"I hate you," he grits out, as he mentally recalls Harry's project for a white chocolate cock ring with the wings of a dragon circling one's balls.
"It's in your honor," Harry had said against Draco's back. Draco had never appreciated the peace one could find only at Swiss lakes like that time. Harry had fucked him slowly by the shores of Lake Lucerne. It had been a particularly passionate night. Draco almost blurted out, "I love you," when his orgasm overwhelmed him.
"Do you really?" Harry asks, stopping to bring them face to face. Draco looks into Harry's green, sweet eyes, and his heart aches.
"No, of course he doesn't hate him. The opposite, actually. Because, you know, lately, I was thinking that I
love you,"
Draco whispers, hating himself the moment he's said it. Harry laughs.
"Yes, something like that.
I love you, too," Harry says, kissing him, holding his face between his hands. Pansy whoops from behind them, and when Draco opens his eyes, he sees that everyone's looking at them, clapping or rolling their eyes as if to say,
"Finally!"
"All right," Draco says, shaking his head. "I'll book the portkey for tomorrow. Let's make this Draco Dormian's cock ring." They start dancing together again, laughing, kissing, and finally just being together. No, this life isn't at all what Draco envisioned for himself. It's not boring, it's not routine, it's not predictable, but it's the absolute best thing that's ever happened to him.